Father, we are with God in secret, but yet you have not contained secrets just to yourself. Through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you have revealed secrets of your heart to us. And so, Father, we want to lean in this morning to what you have to say through your Son, through the Sermon on the Mount that your Son preached so many years ago. So, Father, as we looked into your word, we need your Holy Spirit to enlighten us, speak to us, take control of us, overwhelm us again. In his name we pray. Amen. Last week during my sermon, I talked about my pastor, Dr. Gordon Moist. He was the senior pastor of Wesley Mission. He was not only my mentor, but he was also the first pastor that gave me opportunities to teach God's word. He was the one who encouraged me to be in ministry. Dr. Moyes passed away last Easter. He was relatively young. He was only in his 70s when he went home to see Jesus. After my sermon last week, Eddie Michael from our congregation, where is that? Eddie's there. Michael from our congregation came to me over lunch and said, "I know Dr. Moyes too." Then Eddie proceeded to tell me about the time whereby he visited Wesley Mission in Sydney. He went to Wesley Mission as part of the Doulos team or the Doulos ministry. That particular Sunday, Dr. Moyes invited the volunteers of the Doulos ministry to be part of the service. And Eddie was part of the service. He was very much part of the Doulos ministry. Then Eddie told me that during the service, Dr. Moyes also invited a Korean choir to sing during the service. The Korean choir was so huge that they occupied the entire stage. And when they sang, it was almost heaven on earth coming down. All the different voices, it was majestic. And then to top it all off, Dr. Moyes ended the powerful evening with a preaching from the book of Romans. And when Eddie was describing the events that night at Wesley Mission, do you know what my response was? I was there too, Eddie. I was in the same building as you. I was in the same room as you, Eddie. I was also part of the congregation. But because there were so many people, there was perhaps close to 1,000 people that night, I never met Eddie, and Eddie never got the chance to introduce himself to me. And I was a nobody. I was just a part of the congregation. And we never met. We never said hello. We never introduced ourselves, never exchanged phone numbers. And after the end of the service last week, I was talking to my brother, and we were thinking to ourselves, what if I met Eddie that night? What if I maintained a friendship with Eddie that night, maybe 10 years ago? Will I still be the pastor of this church? I don't know. Then I would have known this church maybe 10 years ago. We all have our what if questions. What if? What if I met Eddie 10 years ago and I knew about ECCEK 10 years ago? We all have our what if questions. We all have questions we want to ask God. What happens if I listened to my parents and not married an unbeliever 20 years ago? What happens if I've not come to Australia but I've stayed back in India or in Italy? What happens if I've not chosen this career path I've taken? I've taken something else. What happens if I've not come to this church but I went to another church I was thinking of last 5 years ago? These are the questions we want God to answer, and perhaps we will not have answers in this life. These are questions is what the Bible calls as the secrets of God. There are many questions God refuses to answer to us, but he does have the answer. Moses put it this way, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of the Lord. There are some secret things that belong to God. If you read the Old Testament, God has a lot of secret things that he doesn't reveal a lot to his people. There are the secret things of God. If you look at this passage of scripture, the word secret appears many, many times in this passage that Suman just read for us. The Greek word is krypto, which we get the name, which we get the English word cryptic. It's being used many, many times in this passage. Why? Because one of the great missions of Jesus is that he has come to reveal the secret things of God to us. Moses says in Deuteronomy 29:29, there are some things that are secret to God. God has some secret things. But here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus comes to reveal to us secrets of the Father, of what the Father is like. And that's why Matthew chapter 5 to 7 is so precious. This is the sermon of Jesus. It's recorded in Matthew. And he tells us a lot of secrets that once was hidden, but now he has revealed to his children. But we need to understand the context of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' message to his disciples, that is to Christians. Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 says that Jesus went up the mountain and sat down, and the disciples came to him. So this sermon is not for unbelievers. So many people misunderstand the Sermon on the Mount and thinking that this sermon is all about works righteousness. No, it's not. It's not to unbelievers. Jesus addressed it to the disciples who sat in front of them. They were already part of the kingdom. They already know God as Father. And that is why, as I mentioned last week, one of the great titles that Jesus gives to God in this sermon is he refers constantly, 17 times in the sermon, to God as Father. So Jesus is not speaking to the world. He's talking to children of God who are already part of God's kingdom. And Jesus is gathering down them and leaning in and says, I want to share with you some certain secrets about the Father. Because now you are children, you need to understand the secrets of your Father in heaven. What is he like? And then he tells us in these next verses what makes our Heavenly Father happy. So this is a very intimate passage that Jesus shares, not with unbelievers. This is not a passage about being saved. It's a passage that Jesus addresses already children of God, what it means to belong to God and call him Father. He shares with us two secrets. In fact, the gist of this passage that Suman just read for us is that he wants to enlist us into his family. He wants us to be secretive as God himself operates in secret. There are two ways in which we as children of God need to be secretive. Is a word that repeats itself in throughout this passage. I want to share with you very briefly, we are to be secretive in two areas. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. He's telling them to be secretive. If you do so, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And then he goes on to talk about two areas in which we are to be secretive, how we are to be enlisted, as I put it in my sermon title, in the Lord's secret service. Number one, we are called to be secretive in our giving, in our giving. Verse 2, Jesus says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it in the with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward. You see, giving was very much a major part of worship during Jesus' time. When the second temple was standing, there was a place in the temple called the Courts of the Women, or the Court of the Women, which is Azrat Hanashim is the courts of the women. It's so called because it's also the middle court. It stands between the court of the Gentiles in the temple and the court of Israel. So it's the middle court in the temple. It's the middle courtyard. And there is this middle courtyard known as the court of the women is very important because that's where the treasury is or was. It was the place where Jesus spent most of his time whenever he was in the temple. So what did the treasury look like in the time of Jesus? According to the Jewish Mishnah, in the court of the women, there were 13 boxes for you to put your offerings in. And the offering boxes are shaped not like our offering boxes, not like our offering box there or our offering bags here, but the offering boxes, the 13 of them, had a square bottom, and on top of the case looks like a trumpet. It has a huge opening like a trumpet, and you throw your money into the mouth of the trumpets. 11 of those boxes, wooden offering boxes, were given to voluntary offerings that you can help with the general expanse of the temple. For instance, there was a trumpet-shaped box for buying wood. Wood was needed for the sacrifice of the temple. And there was another box there for money that you give so that they can buy incense. Incense was very important for the worship of the temple. So 11 boxes were mostly for voluntary offerings. And there were other two boxes. One box, they all looked like trumpets. One box was for the tax, the temple tax, the half shekel temple tax that every Jewish man needs to give yearly to the temple. And the other was a special trumpet box that was used to build the gate of Susan. The gate of Susan, as some would call it, but it's actually pronounced Susan. It's not the name of a lady. Susan actually refers to the name Susa, which is a name of a place. So there are 13 boxes there, and they all look like trumpets. So isn't it very interesting that when Jesus talks about offering, Jesus says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Because that was what the Jewish people were doing. It was in a very open area. And with how much you throw into the trumpet-looking box, people can see. So Jesus says here, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Because Jesus knew that area very well. Jesus spent a lot of time in the court of the women. The very first time he was there, when was he there? When he was a baby, remember, when he was approached by Simeon and Anna the prophetess, when Jesus was a baby. That was the first time he was in the court of the women. Jesus spent a lot of time there arguing and teaching with the Jewish authorities in John chapter 8. And then in Mark chapter 12, we know that Jesus spent a lot of time sitting at the court of the women. What was he doing? Looking at how people give. It's very interesting. Jesus has a very peculiar personality. He sits there and watch how much you throw into the trumpet boxes. And so Jesus here says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Why? Because you have already received your reward in full. If you give to men, you will already receive your reward in full. And it helps us to reflect upon ourselves. Do we gift for the praises of men? There was a pastor I know who was very old and very sick. So one day his children came and asked him, Dad, I know your days are numbered. We want to set up a trust for you, Dad, and put your name there so that when you die, the money can go to help other pastors in need. But then you do get the credit because the trust is in your name. That way we kill two birds with one stone. We can help the ministry of the church, but we can also honor you when you are gone. The wise old pastor begins shaking his hand. And he says, no. Isn't it enough that my name is written in the book of life? That by itself is glory enough. Give the money to the church. Let the church have the glory, not me. Let the church have the glory. And feebly the pastor continued, here's the secret. There is always a sure and a certain way to make a man happy. How do you make a man happy? Make his wife happy. And you want to make Christ happy, make his bride happy, give to the church his bride, his wife, and God will be pleased. Many a times we give, but we want to give to certain charities or certain trust that will glorify us, not anonymously, when nobody sees, when there's just one sentence, the bulletin says general fund. Who sees that? What's that? So we need to examine ourselves. Jesus says, as children of God, our job is not to make our name great. Our job is to make the Heavenly Father happy. And that's a revolutionary thought, because there are people who give money for themselves. There are people who give money so that, oh, if I give $100, then maybe I'll get rich, I'll strike the lottery, or I'll get $20,000 back. Then you're giving for yourself. And if you give for yourself, you already receive reward. Your reward is already full. But Jesus says, give secretly to your Father. How does Jesus put it? Verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Why is it that we need to be secretive in our giving? Then your Father. Those are precious words. You need to underline those words. Because that those words is why we serve God, why we give to God. It's for the Father. Then the Father will, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And as children of God, our main purpose is to make the Father happy and not for the rewards of man. God sees, the Bible says, and He rewards. I remember when I was a teenager, I loved writing out my sermons. And at the time, I was formulating my sermons into little tiny booklets. And then I was about to go to the U.S. For further studies, because I was rejected by the Uniting Church because they were getting very liberal, and in my naivety, I challenged them. So I would, one of the options my pastor told me was, why don't you pursue some studies in the U.S.? But I didn't know anybody in the U.S. But one of the church members told me that there is a very big name preacher in the U.S. who loves to encourage young students who are interested in studying for the Lord. He says, why don't you put your sermons together in a booklet and send a copy to him? Maybe he can read it, and then he will enlighten you and help you along the way of how you can pursue education in the U.S. So that's what I did. I got two of my little booklets of sermons, and I went to the post office, sent it by registered mail to this very famous preacher. And I was very happy. Months and months and months, I didn't hear from this preacher. Finally, one day, the parcel returned. And when I looked at the parcel, I was so excited about this parcel. It was sent back from this preacher. And when I opened the parcel, I noticed that my own parcel was within the parcel. It was not even open. And there was a note that says, thanks for sending this parcel, but Pastor X is too busy to be able to look into your work. Thank you. The pastor was too busy to even open my parcel. But that's not the way with God. The Bible says that when you give to God secretly, when your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing, and you do it in secret, what happens? The Father sees what you have done in secret, and He will reward you. Those are the words from verse 3. God sees. The little that we give to the needy, the little that we give for the glory of His kingdom, God sees. God is not like this pastor. Oh, I'm too busy. I'm governing the world. I'm noticing what North Korea is doing. I'm worried about Donald Trump. I'm worried about Malcolm Turnbull. I don't have time for little people like you. No, 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 no. The Bible says God sees what is done in secret. This is a secret that God, that Jesus gives to us. That's not revealed very much in the Old Testament. But Jesus now tells us the secret. If you give secretly, your Father notices. He's not too busy to even open your parcel. He has time. And He will reward you. For those of us who are fathers, I'm not a father, but for those of us who are fathers, you can remember your little boy or little girl giving you a gift for the first time. How does that make you feel? Even if it's a nonsense gift, it will make you so, so proud. Wouldn't it be? And when you give secretly to the Father, He too is happy. So what's the bottom line here? When you give to the needy, when you give to the church, give secretly but to the Father. Not for your own sake. Not for your own glory. Not for your own prosperity even. Yes, God will reward you, but that's not why we give. But give to please the Father. And do it secretly. We're called to be enlisted in the secret service in the second way that we are to be enlisted. We are not only called to be secretive in our giving, but we are called to be secretive in our prayer. I do not think it's coincidence that after Jesus talked about giving, he talks about prayer afterwards. Because the two are interrelated. If you look through the Sermon on the Mount and look through the teaching of the New Testament, the two, giving and prayer, are always related. And I always have a hard time understanding why is it that God connects the two together. And once when you learn to see what is happening here, you begin to understand why giving and prayer are often linked together as it is here in Matthew chapter 6. The reason why God wants us to be generous is because God Himself is a giving God. He gives not only His Son to shine, as we looked at on the evil and the good last week. He not only gives the rain to be sent upon the righteous and the unrighteous. He's the one that clothed the grass. God Himself is a very giving God. And what is the best way in which God demonstrates that He is generous? The way He answers prayers. We're going to learn about that a little bit later in Matthew's Gospel. God shows His most generous ways. It's when He answers prayers. When He lavishly answers to us. And that's why it's always related. The person who knows and understands how generous God is often is also somebody who's very powerful in prayer. There is a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 that speaks about the role of an elder. I never really understood until I looked at this passage itself. One of the qualifications of being an elder in the church is that the elder needs to be hospitable. That is, he needs to be very generous with his time, his gifts, the way he conducts himself. Why? Why? Why does the elder need to be hospitable? Usually a person is generous is because he knows the generosity of God in prayer. And one of the callings of an elder is not to shake your fist or shake your leg in the church, but one of the callings of the elder is to pray for the church, pray for those who are sick. And how can you pray with power for the sick unless you know how generous God is in prayer, in giving in prayer? And if you know how generous God is in giving in prayer, you yourself will be generous because you want to be like the Father. So I think that's why it's always related that the prayer and giving tends to be together. And that's why Jesus here puts it together in verse 5 when he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." The word that Jesus uses here of those who pray for the glory of human beings is the word hypocrites. The word hypocrites is a Greek word that means an actor that has a mask on. So Jesus is saying, if all you give is for the glory and the praises of men, you are just like an actor on stage. What does an actor do on stage? To get the applause of the people. After your performance, you get the applause, whether it's a standing ovation or people just applaud you. And Jesus says, if you are an actor on a stage, you will receive what an actor receives, applause from the people. But what is the applause of the people? The temporary. After 5 seconds, after 10 seconds, where does the applause go? It dies, it's gone. Jesus says, then you have received your reward in full. But Jesus here then says, but when you pray, go into your room. The Greek word for room here doesn't just mean any room. It means usually the smallest storeroom in a Palestinian home. The smallest room where people usually use for storage. Go to your smallest room, the dirtiest room. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. This is very revolutionary when Jesus said that, because the Jews in the temple during the time of Jesus loved to pray in the temple. But Jesus says, go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Why? Because babbling with many words is very tiresome. I know people who spend hours writing out prayers so that they can look nice and when they pray in front of a church. That's very tiring. Jesus said, you don't have to do that. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And that's something very revolutionary in Jesus' time. That God knows what you need even before you ask Him. So what is our take-home message for us this morning? We need to be sincere in our prayers. Pray in secret as your Father Himself is in secret. Do we pray in secret? This is a very telling way to ask yourself. When trouble comes, when you encounter difficulties in your work, in your family life, is the first thing that you think of prayer and seeking Him? Or do you just pray when, you come to church and Alan is there at the prayer meeting and you have to pray? Pray in secret, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. There once was a story about a long-distance truck driver who was recruited by a Canadian company to drive a truck transporting goods from all over Canada. He reported for the first night, this truck driver, and his task was to drive the truck from Montreal to Vancouver. It would take him 5 nights just to drive that distance. And he was only to drive in the night. So when he was given the keys, he jumped in the truck, turned on the engine, and was sitting in his truck. And the headlights came on. The man looked at the little beam of headlights in front of him, and he looked beyond into the darkness. And he thought to himself, I'm going to drive in the darkness because I'm supposed to drive at night. Miles and miles and miles of darkness in front of me. And all I have are my headlights. And how far can my headlights go? How foolish is this? My headlights only can shine a few meters in front of me. Can my headlights bring me that far? And at that moment, there was a sense of depression that came upon him. And he says, I'm driving all this night distance and all I have is these headlights that only light a few meters in front of me. How will I be able to get through? On one hand, there was a fear that crept into this bus driver. Maybe he should just switch off his engine and just go home. Or he could just drive. And when he started driving, he discovered that little light, though it shines only a few meters in front of him, travels with him all the way. God may not reveal all the secrets to us right now out of His sovereignty and His will, but Jesus has come to give us enough light so that when we move with Him, we will travel the distance. And that light Jesus has given to us, and it's called prayer. That you can talk to God, and you can be sure that your Father knows your need before you ask. You are not praying into thin air. You're not crazy talking to yourself, but the Father knows. That may not sound much, but when you travel with God in prayer, just like that little light, it will take you miles and miles and miles and miles. Father, we come before you. We thank you that the King of Heaven did not just sit on His throne up above and care nothing about us, but He has sent His divine Son, who became a human being, to share with us the secrets of the Father. Though we may not understand and know all the answers to our what ifs and what our questions and things that happen to us, but He has given us a very powerful tool. That is, we can travel with this King, with our Father, because He has given us a powerful weapon called prayer. That doesn't need to tire us. We do not need to babble like pagans. We do not even need to step in a church. We do not even need to be at a grand hotel or a grand palace or a grand temple to pray. We can lock ourselves in the dirtiest, the tiniest, the ugliest room in the church, in our rooms, in our homes, and the Father listens. That's so revolutionary, isn't it? So my friends, let's lean in to what the Father has to say to us this morning. The Father has come so that we who are already children by faith and by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ can know Him and enjoy Him and please Him. You've never been generous in your life. Maybe you don't know the generosity of the Father. If all you give is just peanuts, leftovers, leftover coins, leftover notes, maybe you don't know the generosity of the Father who lavishes the sun on us, the rain upon us, who clothes the grass and who answers our prayers. So Father, I pray for that person right now. The Father, in the name of Jesus, open his or her eyes to see God, the Father who gives and lavishes upon us. Pray for our church to be hospitable, to be a giving church, to be a generous church, not because we want the glory, but because the Father is. It's the Father who is loved, who loves to give, that will change us. I pray for our elders, especially, who are called to be hospitable because God Himself is. Transform us first. Father, flood us with more of You. And it's not through works that, Father, that transform us. It's more of You, more of Jesus, more of the love of God, more of the grace of God. Show us more and more of Your generosity. Show us more and more of Your power that we will beg of You and we will not pray. So Father, I pray for more of Jesus so that we can go out into the world and tell the world that He, Jesus, is enough. That He's all the world needs. That all we need is Him, that He is our answer. In His name we pray.